Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Monday, June 18th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds the Spitting Statistician. As always, I am humbled, honored, and excited to have with me FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Angle. Hey, Scott, how was your weekend? Happy Father's Day one more time. How was your weekend?
Good. Gracias. Muy amable. yeah, had some fun yesterday. Had a nice ribeye yesterday.
Nice.
To lunch with my son. And he gave me some really cool gifts and including a Seattle Seahawks cap that actually the logo lights up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good. So you're going to be good even, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, it rains a lot. It's really cloudy out there. So if you ever go out there and it's dirty or dingy or gray, everyone will still be able to see the King wearing his Seahawks hat. I like that, Scott. I like that.
Yes, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Yeah, and a Captain America mug.
I like that. I like that as well. Good stuff out of Sean the Crown Prince of NASCAR for sure. I had some good time with the fam as well. Unfortunately, in my house, Scott, the gifts I give, for some reason, we can't really talk about them over air. I will say he did get a nice little bottle of tequila, though. So that was good. And we partook a little bit. Yeah, we partook a little bit to celebrate Father's Day. So that was good. Listen, Scott, I feel like, you know, listen, NBA Finals are done. NHL Finals are done. You know, it's kind of like we're into the phase of the boys of summer. You know what I mean, Scott? It's Major League Baseball. I mean, we have our news and notes. You know, the World Cup kind of got going as well. We saw the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. You saw Koepka with a two times now repeat champion out there. Shout out to him. But, like, nobody was under par in the entire U.S. Open. But it feels like baseball, really, for the next couple of weeks, takes central stage, Scott. I mean, we even did the All-Star Game balloting. It really feels like now baseball is really what everyone's going to be focusing on for the next month or so, right, Scott?
Yeah. Fantasy football, though, is right around the corner. But, you know, it's crucial time in baseball right now. And break up the Houston Astros. They've won 11 straight. The Blue Jays have won 7 in a row at home. Fantasy-wise, Nick Castellanos and Eugenio Suarez are on fire.
Absolutely. You mentioned the Astros, Scott, who have, as you mentioned, won like 10 or 11 straight, really starting to pull away in that division. Remember, the Mariners have been sticking with them as well. So let's start there with Houston. Here's where I want to go, though, Scott. I mean, you talk about how they're winning all these games. So you would think, Scott, that if you have the closer for the Houston Astros, that you're in amazing shape. The question is, though, who is that closer, Scott? Rondon comes back out, gets the save yesterday, his fourth save of the season. You know, Giles was back toward, you know, Friday or whatever, getting saves. How do you play this bullpen going forward? Because, Scott, I'll also tell you, I believe Chris Devinsky is also still rosterable on Fantasy League. So how do you play the back end of this bullpen, Scott?
Right now, I'm leaning towards Rondon. He has, I believe, four of the team's last five saves. Giles did get one yesterday, but he's pitching the eighth inning yesterday, and Rondon's numbers have been terrific. His strikeout rate has been terrific. Sometimes earlier in his career, he was more erratic, but sometimes when a guy gets a chance later in his career to hold down the job, even so with LaTroy Hawkins when he was pitching, early in his career, wasn't cut out to be a closer. Later in his career, he was. So, you know, we see that sometimes with guys like Jason Grilli is another example that, you know, was a mediocre starter and then, you know, became a closer like towards the late end of his career. And then he dropped off more. Right now it's fluid. I don't think you can cut Ken Giles, but I think Rondon is the guy for now.
I have both of them
in one of my leagues. I'm starting Rondon this week.
You have both of them, but you're only going ahead and starting Rondon in this league. Good insight from the King, Scott Engel. Listen, also, I want to stay in the AL West, Scott. I mean, got an interesting game. You have, you have the Angels and the A's. Okay, I want to go there. The Angels seem to be kind of, I don't know. I guess the thing is, Scott, are they hanging in it? Or not? I guess that is the big question for me when it comes to the Angels. They lose 6-5 to the Oakland A's in 11 innings yesterday. Although I want to tip my cap, Albert Pujols with his 400th regular season home run. So we tip our cap to him. I guess my question, Scott, is what do you do if you're the Angels in terms of like this trade deadline? Are you buyers or are you sellers? You see the Astros and the Seattle Mariners now jump out and have a big time lead on you. You lost your rookie stud, or, you know, rookie in air quotes, Shohei Ohtani, right? But on the flip side, any team that has Mike Trout, you got to believe you're still in it. If you're the Angels, what are you doing? How are you playing this moving forward, Scott?
In terms of what?
In terms of if they're buyers or if they're sellers at the trade deadline. I mean, they're hovering
I don't think they're sellers yet. You know, they have a lot of talent right now.
Yeah, but I mean, Seattle and Houston are way far ahead of them, and you know one of the other wild cards in the American League is coming from whoever finishes second place in the AL East.
I have an issue with this kind of thing, though.
Talk to me.
I hear this not just you from other fantasy players. People are getting very focused on the trade deadline and stuff like that. Independent races, you know, you got to be paying more attention. You know. To your own personal standings and where you can move up, etc. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, even some of my writers are talking about like all this exciting trade deadline stuff, etc. But you got to keep a focus on your own team. I know as fantasy players we're baseball fans first, but I think some people are taking their eye off the ball.
Okay, so tell me how to so. I mean, you're right, Scott. We have spent time talking about, you know, relievers like Herrera and Hand and Britton that may be on the move. We've talked about 85 cents on the dollar, what that could represent for other players that we think might get moved and kids that might come up. But so in general, Scott, you're saying, listen, there's still a month and a half to the trading deadline. We don't have to pick up our eyes and look at the real baseball standings just yet. We're still grinding day by day your fantasy team standings and like the players that can really kind of stay hot or be cold and pop off.
Right
for you.
Now,
like, that's
I'm
your
concerned
focus.
About concerned more about what can I category can I move up in than when the Angels are going to be buyers and sellers at the trade deadline or the Dodgers, you know, I'm hearing about over the weekend from some of my fantasy guys. Look, it's a concern if you play in an AL or an NL only league. And sometimes it changes the outlook of, you know, your players if they make a move. And it's all fun speculation, you know, but there's a job at hand to be had right now. And it's more to me, it's more important to focus on the fantasy task at hand. This is a crucial time of year where I think, you know, you have to evaluate where you are in the standings and decide what categories you can move up in and what you can. It's all nice and fun to speculate if the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to be sellers or not. But, you know, I think people get too swept up in this.
Okay, fair enough. I hear you. I was taking stock of my team, the Trevor Ending story, and I realized that what I need to do where I can make the most hay is in that saves category. You know, I'm only getting now 3 points out of that, but I see they're all bundled up, and I know that that's where I can go ahead. So you're recommending, Scott, people say, what are those stats? What are those categories that can really be a high leverage point for you that you can really make and go out and start trying to, you know, make some trade deals or put out some offers there, you know, if you're struggling in power categories, but you're at the top of steals, it's time to start trading from strength and looking for categories that you could actually make a little bit of a jump in. Is that correct, Scott?
Yeah, I think closers are more important from this kind of thing, but
right.
kind of perspective, because the Mets may trade Familia, the Padres may trade right. Hand.
The Hand, you know, the Herrera.
We've already seen Colomé move, so I think it's very important to examine the trade possibilities from that perspective. But, you know, all this talk about DeGrom going to the Yankees
sure.
and stuff like that, you know, this is that's water cooler talk. That doesn't help you in the standings.
All right, fair enough. Well, listen, Scott, if you need help in the standings, specifically in the stolen base category, how about Michael Taylor of Washington yesterday, Scott? I understand the Blue Jays win that game 8-6. I understand we're not worried about the Nationals being six games over wherever they are in the standings. Michael Taylor steals four bases. He now has 21 on the season. Think about the huge impact a guy like that can have, Scott. He's hitting only 236. Here's my question, though, for you, Scott. We've talked a lot about the power hitters, you know, the Joey Gallos of the world, the other guys that are banging home runs but hitting 210, 220. It used to be that was kind of the narrative, Scott, around stolen base guys, you know? Like, oh, Billy Hamilton will get you these steals, but he'd only hit 210. You know, same with a guy like Michael Taylor. With all these power guys now also hitting like 210, 220, 230, does that give you more of an opportunity to look at some of these straight steals guys? I mean, I remember guys like Jared Dyson who wouldn't be hitting well, Michael Taylor, Billy Hamilton, but they're not really, they're for average, they're not any worse than some of these three true outcome power guys. You got to go out and get Michael Taylor and some of these speed stolen base guys, right, Scott?
I'm not touching Michael Taylor.
No, yeah, why not?
Yeah, he had a great game yesterday, but... You know, like you said, the guy's hitting 236, and that's his high water mark. He has an OBP of 301, and he's played 16 games this month. Mm-hmm. In 12 of them, he has not stolen a base. In May, he only stole four bases. He came out of the gate on fire in terms of stolen bases. You know, mm-hmm. he stole eight in the month of April, but he just doesn't hit. Yeah, you know, at one point he was actually down to like 196 in mid-April, but finished the month at 294, but then he really fell off in May. You know, this guy doesn't get on base enough. It's, you know, it's like Billy Hamilton. Yeah, you want Billy Hamilton? He's hitting under 200. Jared Dyson is hitting under 160. Yeah, these guys can steal a few bases in a game once in a while, but they're going to drag your average down. You're going to leave them in the lineup, and maybe they'll steal two to three bases a week. But overall, they're going to drag your team down. It's like,
yeah.
Give me a guy that's going to hit for average and steal. I don't want a guy that's going to hit 220, you know, and okay, have a three stolen base game and then do nothing for another week because he's not getting on base.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You don't think, though, that impact, that risk is lessened because the power guys are also hitting, you know, that low in terms of batting average as well these days? You know, you say
it's not because in comparison to like a low power guy, I'm isolating Michael Taylor by himself.
Sure.
And saying to myself, do I really want to, you know, put this guy on my team? And when I look how much he drags down my batting average, he's not giving me enough pop. He's not giving me enough RBI production. You know, he has one homer this month and three RBIs. He's got more stolen bases than RBIs. You know, I really don't want a part of him. It's I'm not wasting my Fab money on a Michael Taylor, you know. Give me a guy who's going to hit 270 with 25 home runs instead.
All right, fair enough. That's where you see Scott Engel staying away from these one-category kind of guys. It seems like, Scott, you're preferring the more well-rounded ball player. The Boston Red Sox, they take out Seattle in Seattle yesterday, 9-3. Hey, Scott, the Red Sox probably have some guys you want on your fantasy team. You know, Rafael Devers hits his 11th home run of the year. Xander Bogaerts hits his 12th home run of the year, hitting up to 279. I want to ask you, though, Scott, I want to ask you about Mitch Moreland. Okay, he goes 2-for-4. He hits three ribbies on the day. He's hitting 276. I remember when they DFA'd Hanley Ramirez. At this point, that was about a month ago, right, Scott? We talked about how Mitch Moreland might have been the beneficiary, you know, how he was going to probably be in the lineup a little bit more. But one of the concerns was when you use a part-time player and have him start playing every day, sometimes they get exposed. My question is, has Moreland been exposed at all, or is he doing kind of what you want him to do? If you have Moreland and you were excited that he was going to get more at-bats, more games after Hanley, has he delivered for you?
He has, but he's cooled off a lot recently. Okay. But that's Mitch Moreland. I've had him on my roster before. He goes through hot. He's streaky. He goes through hot spells and he goes through cold spells. And you know, if you want Moreland as a corner infielder, you know, in the middle of that Boston lineup, I think it's worth it during the cold spells. Right now, he's hitting .276 with 10 homers in 202 at bats. So if he was to get 600 at bats, he's like on a 30 homer pace. And you know, the guy's a career .254 hitter. Right now, the BABIP is .310. It's a little high. You know, he's probably going to settle like around .270 with 25 homers. You know, so what you see is what you get. You know, baseball's a game, peaks and valleys, as the cliche goes. And
right
now, he's going through a valley. You know, that's what you get. But you know, then he's going to help your team in the standings for like a good week period. So when he heats up, Mitch Moreland's Mitch Moreland. He's streaky.
All right. Fair enough. Let's go down to another game here. Scott, down in Atlanta, the Braves take out the Padres 4-1. We have the return of Julio Teheran, right? He goes 6 no-hit innings. He strikes out 11, getting his 5th win of the season, lowering his ERA to under 4. Listen, Scotty, Teheran would be a nice surprise for the Braves, especially because my guy, Mike Foltynewicz, hit the DL over the weekend. But, you know, they can't bring him back out with a no-hitter in his first game back, huh?
I guess not, but, you know, Teheran's kind of up and down.
Yeah, 95 pitches.
Yeah, he's kind of up and down. I think I look at him as more of a streamer than a guy that I simply have to plug into my lineup every week. He's got a 3.97 ERA, which is better than last year. But, you know, his xFIP is 4.85. He's got an 81.4% strand rate and a 2.18 BABIP, so there's some regression coming there.
All right, fair enough. Hopefully he
does help
out. And
there's some danger always.
Yeah, with Teheran, I remember.
With him at home.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Scott. Last year, I remember I had some shares of him early on, and I had to, you know, cut bait on Teheran because his home road splits were out of control last year, Scott. I think he literally, I don't have him up right now, but I think he literally pitched to like around a, you know, low 2 ERA on the road and like a 6 ERA at home. It was absolutely crazy. Is there any reason for that? You know, is it like the jet stream and to right center in the SunTrust Park? Is it a mental thing? What do you think could go, what do you think could be behind something like such dramatic home road splits? And we're not talking about a hitter at Coors Field here, Scott.
Yeah, you talk to players, you try to figure it out, but I think it just comes down to that SunTrust Park is really a hitter's venue. This year, his home ERA is 4.15, and the way is 3.79. You know, sometimes we're looking to, you know, to get all deeper in terms of, you know, why a guy may do this at home versus road. Mm-hmm. But I think you just see overall that, you know, this is more of a hitter's park, and that's pretty much what it is. You know, back before SunTrust Park, Atlanta was a pitcher's park, and, you know, now that's changed.
Okay, fair enough. Shane Bieber gets his first win for the Cleveland Indians in a win against Minnesota. Cleveland now 4 games over .500. Bieber goes 5 2/3, gives up 1, but strikes out 7 to get his first win. Catcher Yan Gomes had a nice game with 3 ribbies. He's up to over .250 with his batting average. Scott, this kid Bieber, is he going to stick up this time? I mean, Carrasco got banged up over the weekend on a comebacker. Do you think Bieber sticks and makes more starts? If you're a fantasy player, you looking at him? He's one of these kids that had, you know, kind of had a lot of buzz around his coming up to the show.
I think he's got a chance. He's pitched better than Adam Plutko, and right now, you know, there is an opening in that rotation. You know, right now it's Kluber, Bauer, Clevinger, and they have Plutko and Bieber, and you know, right now slotted in at the 4 and 5 spots. There's nobody else I could really see that they would move into that rotation. He certainly pitched better than Plutko right now. So I figure if they're going to go with 4 guys and maybe have that 5th guy to maybe skip on an off day, it might be Plutko over Bieber.
Okay, so something to keep an eye on. We'll also keep our eye on Carlos Carrasco in that rotation to see what happens when after he took a comebacker, I believe, to the forearm. Scott, another game I want to get at. The Baltimore Orioles, they put up a 10 spot at home against the Marlins. I want to ask you about Mark Trumbo, okay? Scott, Trumbo goes 3 for 5. He goes yard as well. It's only his fourth of the year. But here's my thing about Trumbo, Scott. Trumbo, in my opinion, used to be one of these kind of guys, like we were talking about, the Joey Gallos of the world, right? The three true outcomes. You get your power, but it would come at a price. I look up right now, though, Scott. Trumbo's hitting .261. That's a lot better average than I thought. We just talked about these one-category steals guys. To me, Trumbo was one of these power guys that you would get the pop, you get the home runs, maybe the ribbies, but you would have to sacrifice an average and OBP. 261 is a pleasant surprise out of Trumbo. What do you think about him? Could he sustain kind of that average and deliver power for you?
I doubt it. 261 is career 249 hitter. I see at least a 10-point drop coming. The BABIP is 317. You take a look at that. It's over his career mark of 287. Yeah. So he's been a little fortunate. You know, right now, 4 homers and 150 at bats. His isolated power is 159 right now, which is well below his career mark of 211. You know, I'm starting to get to the point with Trumbo. In the last full season, he only hit 23 home runs. So maybe you're looking at a 240, 20 home run hitter. I'm not interested really that much in Mark Trumbo. Somebody offered him to me a week ago. It was like, can we start talking a real trade? Can you bring up a real player?
So did they bring up a real player? Did they upgrade the offer from Trumbo?
They tried to send me Trumbo for one of my decent pitchers. I said not interested in Trumbo whatsoever.
Got you. Yeah, people are, like you said, Scott, this is the time when people are starting to work out some trades, you know, because you got to see what categories you need. Hey, Scott, it sounds like you like these overall players, right? I got someone that I think I might be able to interest you as an overall player, and I go to Los Angeles where the San Francisco Giants took out the Dodgers 4-1 yesterday. Hey, Scott, I'm talking about Brandon Belt. I mean, Brandon Belt hits his 12th home run of the season. This is a guy, he's an overall player, Scott, hitting .302. His OPS right now, over 900 at the corner infield. Brandon Belt occupies, like, usually the second spot in that order. May get more opportunities to maybe hit in the middle of that lineup, because remember, Evan Longoria went down recently for San Francisco. You know, Nick Hundley also has a great game, but you know that's going to be Buster Posey behind the dish most times for the Giants. But Brandon Belt, having a good year, hitting over 300 with his 12th homer of the year. He'll be a guy, just like you said, Scott, that's going to wind up with 20 home runs and around 75 ribbies. You like that, don't you?
I do, but, you know, if you go to rotoexperts.com this morning, we got a new article from Inside Injuries where they talk about Brandon Belt being a risk. And try to move him if you can, because he just returned from an appendectomy, you know, that really messes with the core muscles. I think I think Cole Calhoun actually did with that, and over the longer stretch, you know, that may sap his production. I think it's something to be concerned about, at least according to Inside Injuries.
Okay, so that is definitely something to keep an eye on. Going over to Inside Injuries, as they always say, you can't tell when an injury is going to happen, but Dr. A and the crew over there do the best job of helping you out. Hey, Scott, one more game I want to talk about, okay? We go down to Milwaukee. All right, or up to Milwaukee, I guess, depending on where you are. The Philadelphia Phillies take out the Brewers 10-9. And Scott, this is kind of like a matchup of two potential playoff teams here that you wouldn't think about. Eric Thames coming back with a big game, 4 ribbies. Mikel Franco coming back. Maybe he's viable again on some rosters with 4 ribbies. But I don't know if you saw I don't know if you actually saw the game, Scott, but what was also interesting, I don't know if you saw the kid Adrian Hauser that got kind of called up. Did you see that on the mound he actually pulled a Willie Beeman and vomited twice on the mound and then still finished the inning? This kid Adrian Hauser that was called up from the minors to fill in. I thought that was fun. But some players from these teams really getting going again, Timms and Franco.
Yeah, it was interesting with Marcus Thames that, you know, he actually shaved his beard And he hit two home runs yesterday after hitting 100 for the rest of the week. So, and this week he's actually platooning, and this week they face a whole bunch of righties, so he should get a lot of playing time. As for Franco, yeah, he had one good game yesterday, but he's been losing a lot of playing time. He's unreliable, and I actually caught him in one league.
You did, yeah. We were talking about that, Franco. You know, it looks got like. You know, Gabe Kepler has lost faith in him on some level, right? And so you did as well as a fantasy manager. It's time to cut bait, we think, on Mikel Franco, even despite the game he had yesterday.
Depends on how big your league is.
Yeah.
You know, in Town Wars, I just saw some better corner infielders / outfielders that I liked better, so. You know, I picked up Lonnie Chisenhall and Tony Kemp, and Franco was one of the guys that I got rid of.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Scotty, we are off and running. When we come back, we still got a lot to do, Scott, on a Monday, okay? We got to go over some bumps and bruises. I know you like to give the infirmary report, Scott. We'll see. We got a couple people coming back this week, a couple people that got dinged up over the weekend. We will check in on that. We will get people ready for Daily Fantasy on Monday. We will also, like you said, look at rotoexperts.com. There's a great article there about things like two-start pitchers, some waiver ads. We'll get into that. A lot of stuff to get to. You know, big time Monday here. We also, Scott, we've got a new contest that we're going to be doing with DKMS. Got to let the listeners know about that. We're off and running. It's a big time, you know, Monday, big week here in fantasy sports. Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane and Scott, come on right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning. Yes, Scotty. That's what I'm talking about. What's this, Scotty? Educate me.
Okay. More Kiss. More Shout Kiss. It out loud.
Yo, let me tell you something, guys. The King Take Scott Angle is not joking. He showed me some pictures when he's out in his full Kiss regalia. And all I got to tell you is the King is not joking around when he hits the town with his crew decked out as Kiss. Thanks for the education, though, Scott. I like that. I like what you're doing there, helping me out.
Little shout it out loud.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Listen, Scott, first of all, so many ways you guys can join the show, okay? So let me tell you something. If you want, either now, talk about baseball. We had a call last week, Scott. Guy wanted to call in and talk about LeBron, where he thought LeBron was going to wind up. Jake and I were talking about that. If you want to holler at us at the show, the number to call is 844-843-6879. We will take your call, Scott. I expect we're going to have a ton of calls coming up about fantasy football as we get into that. You also can, you know, check us out on Twitter. I'm at Spittin' Speeds. We're at Scotty RotoX, at The All-In Kid, and Roto Experts. We put up poll questions, Scott, and we've been doing this face of baseball. Scott, we are into the second round, okay? So we're going to have some more interesting matchups. We have today's matchup is the 4 seed, Mike Trout, going up against the lone upset in our first round. Remember in that 5-12 matchup, we had an upset. Trout would have been going against his teammate Shohei Ohtani, but instead Justin Verlander pulled the upset. So JP, our night owl down there in the fantasy pit of misery, is going to get that poll question up. We've got the 4 seed Mike Trout against the 12 seed Justin Verlander. How do you think this one's going to play out, Scott? You think the Cinderella run of Justin Verlander is over, or does he get through yet another angel in Mike Trout?
Mike Trout is one of the closest things to the face of baseball as we have. As good as Verlander has, good as Verlander is, Trout is widely regarded as the best pure player in the game. I don't think Verlander survives this one.
I don't either. I think the Cinderella run comes to an end. I think Mike Trout will move on to the semifinals. You know, Scott, I think we're going to pretty much have some chalk in this tournament, right? And when we get to the kind of semifinals, it's going to be very interesting when we see the big boys of, like, say, Trout and Altuve and Bryce Harper, you know, maybe an Aaron Judge or a Mike Stanton. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they ultimately, you know, who ultimately wins our poll to be the face of baseball in Major League Baseball. But you can get that poll up there. Our guy JP the Night Owl's putting it up right now. You could vote on that. You could also play Roto Cleo along with us as we move along. But Scott, there's going to even be another opportunity for fans to play along with us. Check this out. If you want to get a ticket or a chance to win tickets to the 2018 World Series game, tune into the Fantasy Sports Radio Network between July 8th and July 17th. And you can play the DKMS Trivia Challenge for a shot to call in with a chance to attend the Fall Classic in person. All you got to do is use the same old number, 844-843-6879. The contest is sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival, but only 30% of patients can find a matching donor. That's where you come in, okay? Go on over to dailyroto.com/DKMS. Learn a lot more about how you could step up and help people struggling with this disease. But don't forget, keep it locked to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network July 8th through July 17th. Call in and win. It is the DKMS Trivia Challenge. Hey, Scott, I think that's kind of fun. We're going to be doing a little bit of trivia challenge with the listeners, get some people calling in, see if they could hang and maybe get a chance to win two tickets to the World Series. What do you think about that, Scott? Nice little promo, nice little contest we're doing with DKMS, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's always good. It's for a great cause. It's second season of doing something like this, coming up for NFL as well. So very much looking forward to it.
Absolutely. You think our listeners, let's put it this way, because we're going to be doing the contest across, you know, we'll be on, you know, Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll probably also be on shows like, you know, Fantasy Best Friends Forever and, you know, Fantasy Football Frenzy. The question is, Scott, do you think our listeners are smarter than the listeners of other shows?
So I think of other shows on this network or overall?
Yeah, on this network, like, would you put our Roto Experts listeners up against the Fantasy BFF listeners? Do you think that our, like, I'm trying to create a little friendly rivalry here, Scott. You think our listeners will outshine the BFF listeners?
Yeah, the BFF is kind of like a saccharine, you know, kind of like a sugary kind of show.
I gotcha.
Yeah, our show is, I think, is a little more serious. You know, we don't
the hardcore. We got the hardcore fan.
We don't sing bad '90s songs. You know, coming
ooh,
in.
Let them know, Scott.
You know, but I would have to say, you know, I'll take our listeners over to the BFF listeners.
Yeah, that's right. I know my fantasy best friend forever, Frank Stanfill, might be able to hear the sound of my voice right now. And so it is on like Donkey Kong. The Roto Experts in the Morning listeners will put it on the fantasy BFFs. We'll see what they have to say in retort. But remember, that contest is going on starting in a couple of weeks, starting July 9th, I believe. July 8th through July 17th, Roto Experts in the Morning, for your chance to win two tickets. Let's go on over to the Daily Roto. Okay, you know, they make millionaires over there, Scott. We got an interesting slate today. Trevor Bauer, Garrett Cole, those are the kind of high-priced guys. We know what they both can do in terms of their strikeouts. You know about that spin rate that both of them have been talking about. I'm interested in kind of the middle tier, though. You know, you got a guy like Nick Pivetta, who you have liked before. You got a guy like Miles Mikolas, who we have talked about, Scott, that we definitely like moving forward, right? And then there's also the curious case of Jacob DeGrom. Listen, DeGrom is a stud. We know that. The only problem is he's pitching tonight in Coors, or today tonight in Coors Field. Does that give you too much cause for pause for DeGrom, or is he just so good that he is ballpark and matchup proof at this point, Scott?
I think he's almost... He's almost like ballpark proof.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like in past years when we saw Kershaw go into Coors Field and he would have a good game. It's, you know, I think good pitchers excel anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people might be off of him tonight actually because of the venue. And the Mets offense really woke up over the weekend.
A little bit, yep.
They woke up over the weekend. It's like, if anything's going to spur them at any point during the season, it's that four-run ninth inning that they had yesterday, which was that was kind of like an unreal sort of comeback. It's, you know, if they can carry the momentum into Colorado, and, you know, Todd Frazier can you know, jump on all these lefties he's facing, they might actually get some run support here. You know, DeGrom could give up 3-4 runs here, and he might give up some run support. This is an opportunity for the Mets offense to turn it around in Colorado after taking the last two in Arizona. So I'm okay with using DeGrom tonight, but I think, you know, I kind of look down the board, and, mm-hmm. you know, you do have some chalk plays like Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole. They love them on Daily Roto.
Yep.
But I take a look at, you know, I like Caleb Smith at San Francisco tonight. You know, he's pitched really well. And, of course, you know, my guy Jaime Barria, you know, getting two turns this week and, you know, facing Cincinnati tonight.
There you go. Okay, so fair enough. But honestly, Scott, though, is that just an opportunity for you to say Barria again? Or do you actually like him? Or were you
him. I own him in two leagues.
All right, I don't know, because sometimes, Scott, I'm just trying to make sure that you're not just trying to get in, you know, you're just not trying to get in your glorious accents, you know. That's all, Scott.
Oye, no necesita problema aquí, okay?
Okay, fair enough. Hey, let's keep it moving, though, Scott. Those are definitely some of the places you can go if you want to trust DeGrom. Listen, DeGrom may be low-owned today, you know, because of, like you said, people thinking that Met offense is still putrid despite them showing signs of life over the weekend because they draw Coors Field. So maybe DeGrom could be an interesting zig when others zag. You got the Greinke's, the Pavetta's, and the Mikolas's, other options if you don't want to spend up for Bauer or Cole, who should be the chalk, as you mentioned, Scott. But if you need more insight, go on over to dailyroto.com. They make millionaires over there. We'll be talking with Colin, Drew, and Mike Leone a little bit later on this week. But Scott, you mentioned the two-start guys, right? Brandon Williams, as always, does a great article over on RotoExperts.com. Check him out on Twitter as well. BCWilliams71. Get a little bit of plug there. Let's look at some of these two-star pitchers. You know, you mentioned Caleb Smith. We mentioned Nick Pivetta. What about some of these other guys? Like, I'm intrigued by Domingo Herman. You know, you could probably stream him. He's getting two starts.
Of course you are.
Right, at home against the Mariners. Listen, I haven't mentioned the Yankees much yet today, Scott. I will say this. I think I've, you know, I haven't used my ratio just yet. We're in the middle of the month. I'm trying to save up my Yankee mentions for later on so I can really flood you with them towards the end of the month. But Herman does have the Mariners on Tuesday, then at Tampa on Sunday. Those are two interesting starts. I would like him, I think, ahead of a guy like Dylan Covey, who's got the Indians, and then Oakland. Like, you like his start against Oakland, but not, you know, when you're at home instead of on the road.
Covey's pitched really well, though. He's
okay.
He's pitched really well. He's outperformed, you know, German.
Yeah, 12-1 strikeout to walk ratio in the last couple of outings. We like that. So you like Covey? What about a guy like?
I'm just saying, it's not a slam dunk that I would take German over Covey. I mean, I know you would take German over, you know, Chris
anybody
Hill getting two starts. You know,
that's right. I'm taking him over Corey Kluber. You know, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you about a different one.
I like German, though. I think the first start is definitely tougher than the second, you know, but his last two performances have been very encouraging.
Okay, let me ask you about two other guys that I think are interesting. The first is Tyler Anderson in Colorado. Scott, he's got two home starts in Colorado, so I would usually just X him off the list right away. But they're against the Mets and the Marlins, Scott. Two offenses that certainly do not scare me. The little rising from the slumber you mentioned about the Metropolitans, notwithstanding. I know he's at Coors, but the Mets and the Marlins are two decent matchups. What do you think about Tyler Anderson?
I'm okay with that. You know, you certainly want to, you know, take a chance against two offenses that really been struggling. So, you know, I'm certainly okay with that.
Okay, so that's another interesting – I'll tell you another guy where the matchups, I think, are really strong. Listen, in his last game, he was playing the Astros, who got roped and scored, gave up 8 runs in like an inning and a third. I'm talking about Paul Blackburn in Oakland. Check this out this week, Scott, at
the Fathers, and then at the White Sox. Again, two teams that just straight up do not scare me. Sometimes you got to attack the opposing offense. Scott, what do you think about Blackburn? He gets to avoid the Astros, which is where he blew up the last outing.
Yeah, you know, that's sharp. You know, the guy's a streamer, and it depends on who he faces. Guys who don't strike out a lot of hitters, you know, you have to stream them. You know, I'm looking at these, like, these Matt Cook types. You know, Matt Cook is a really good record, nice whip, but, you know, he's showed a lot of bumps lately. And I'm only putting him out there, like, I'm sitting him this week against the Angels, you know, for his one start. The guys, these guys who don't strike out a lot of hitters and tend to get blown up, or, you know, I'm going to be careful with it. But you mentioned Miles Michaelis. He's at Philly, he's at Milwaukee, the way he's pitched. No, I really don't care what the matchups are. What's interesting is Blake Snell has a killer two-turn week. He's at Houston and home against the Yankees.
Oof, that's rough.
And the first start is against Verlander. I would blame you if you sit Snell this week.
Yeah, those are two tough offenses to draw, and you look at the other side of things, you get Justin Verlander. That could be an issue. Hey, Scott.
And look at Marco Gonzalez, as good as he's pitched. He's got the Yankees and the Red Sox both on the road.
Yeah, that's rough. I'm telling you, you got to look at these matchups, okay? When you draw an offense and you're facing, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Astros, the Indians, some of these offenses, you have to stay away. It's not only the ballpark you're pitching in, it's the team you're pitching against, and it's also sometimes you mention, Scott, the starter on the other side. I'm glad that you mentioned Justin Verlander, though, Scott, because I have two things I want to touch on real quick about Justin Verlander. The first is,
Before you go to rotoexperts.com this morning for all the two-turn pitchers, the Fantasy Baseball Weekly Planner with Brandon C. Williams.
Absolutely. Brandon Williams does a great job there, Scott. Excuse me. And I was going to go back to him. In fact, Scott, can you talk about rotoexperts.com, you know, the mark of fantasy excellence. You know, we're in a point of the calendar where people can go there for their Major League Baseball stuff like streaming and two-star pitchers, but we're going to also start putting up, you know, a ton of football articles as well, Scott, right? I know you are writing and editing. I know my guy, the all-in kid, Jake Seely, is writing and editing. I know I even submitted an article for this exclusive Edge package. Tell people when this is going to start to be available and what can they start to expect from the Roto Edge exclusive fantasy football package.
Yeah, we'll be launching this week, probably with about 30 articles.
Awesome.
Improved cheat sheet generator and a full suite of projections to kick off with a lot more to come.
So tell me a little bit about this cheat sheet generator, Scott. I like to cheat sometimes. What is it generating for me? What do you mean generator?
Basically, you input your scoring system and your league parameters and. And, you know, based on our projections, it gives you a cheat sheet that you can take to your draft.
Okay, so it's customizable based on the scoring systems. Listen, number one rule of all fantasy leagues, know your settings. And so the cheat sheet generator allows you to plug in your settings and get customizable ranks or projections and scoring based on that. That's definitely good to know. Starting this week, get that exclusive Edge package and get ready for fantasy football. You can try to win your leagues and win that cash. Hey, Scotty, let's go over to Verlander, okay? Right now, they got that face of MLB brackets going on. We're in the second round. Mike Trout dominating Justin Verlander early. It's 82-18. Get on out there and vote, though. But you think Trout is going to move on to the semis? No problem, right, Scott?
Yeah, but it's just not even going to be a contest.
All right, this may be. Remember, Verlander's the lowest seed of this group right here. So, you know, the run may end. The other thing I really wanted quickly to talk about, Scott, I don't know if you saw this. You know, there's always battles on social media. There's always beef now on social media. There was a post, and you were talking to, remember last week, Scott, you were talking to Gleyber Torres. You talked to him about his power surge, you know. Well, there was a kind of, in essence, a troll out there on Twitter pretty much insinuating that Gleyber Torres was on performance-enhancing drugs, noting how weird it was that Gleyber Torres only had 24 home runs and over 1,400 at-bats in the minors, and then all of a sudden in only about 150 at-bats with the New York Yankees in the big show has 13 home runs, kind of insinuating like that that's really weird, you know, and that, you know, the power display is, you know, maybe there's something else going on with Gleyber in terms of the PED usage. And Justin Verlander likes this post and responds by saying, yeah, that's weird. I thought it was real interesting that it would be Justin Verlander to come out and have any kind of public commentary on this, especially because you remember, Scott, early in the year, there was this kind of back and forth on social media with Trevor Bauer and the idea of the spin rate and how maybe there was an inflated velocity increase for a guy like Justin Verlander, who has been putting up ridiculous numbers ever since he moved from Detroit to Houston. People were wondering if there's anything weird behind that. And now Verlander's coming out saying that there may be something weird about AL Rookie of the Year favorite Gleyber Torres. What do you think about this, Scott? Much ado about nothing? Or should Verlander keep his mouth, or in this case, his keyboard shut and just, you know, stay focused on his, you know, sub-2 ERA?
Much ado about nothing. Don't see any reasons why you'd be pointing to Torres. Look, Verlander's played the game. I haven't. You know, maybe he knows something I don't. But, you know, from what I've seen watching baseball with Torres, you know, guys certainly sometimes blossom when they hit the majors and don't always hit for the same power. Francisco Lindor was never that much of a home run hitter in the minor leagues as much as he is now, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Is that just guys like, for lack of a better term, growing into their bodies and their man strength, Scott? Is that what happens? And you know the old
it's
adage
also,
that like
it's also mechanics
doubles become homers?
It's also mechanics, you know. It's a variety of things, you know. Probably a hitting coach can explain it better than I could, but some kinds of guys just blossom at the major league level. I mean, you look at Francisco Lindor's numbers. Right now he's got 16 home runs and 327 at-bats. In the minor leagues, like his last year in the minors, he had 5 home runs in 180 plate appearances. So, you know, we didn't see the power from Lindor until he got to the majors. You know, sometimes it just happens that way. And to point a finger back at Verlander, you know, it's, you know, people, I think you're not finding any tent poles for these kind of arguments. Anything that you can stick it to, you know, it's, you know, I was watching, you know, Mariner highlights last night, and I'm thinking to myself, this one guy had a massive home run, and I'm thinking, wow, he's been around forever. I believe he's had issues before, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got popped.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's this.
But I don't have any proof of that, so I got to be careful about what I say, you know?
And I think that's what I was going to say to kind of tie this all up, Scott. You know, I think it's, unfortunately, it's the kind of society, it's the culture we live in, you know? When we see these incredible feats of athleticism, I just think it's sad that our knee-jerk reaction, instead of appreciating what we see, is to question it, you know? And we see that right now in so many areas of life. We see it in politics, we see it in sports, you know, with performance enhancing drugs and fake news and all this stuff, and our first instinct is not to just enjoy what we see, but to somehow be skeptical and question it. And quite frankly, I think that's sad, because there are so many people out here in professional sports that are really pushing the boundaries of human performance, and something that we should really be appreciating that we get to see. You know what I mean, Scott? I mean, like, think about, you know, say like LeBron James or something. Like, we are seeing things that we have never seen before, and instead of appreciating it, we start to question right away.
We do. And, you know, when you're on top, somebody was always trying to knock you down, etc. Yeah. I mean, obviously I was talking about Nelson Cruz, because he's gotten popped in the past, and he's, you know, his age is very much way up there. You know,
and you know what I got to tell you, Scott,
reports
what I hate
before.
Yeah. I hate that this a lot of times is a narrative that surrounds the Latino ball player, Scott. I got to tell you that, you know, like, because I, you know, and every kind of, I guess, rumor comes from somewhere, right? But I'm always a little bit upset that the Latino ball player carries that kind of brand, I think, a little bit more than some other players. Am I crazy, Scott? Am I just being defensive because I'm Puerto Rican? Or do you see that as well, that that narrative kind of ties to the Latin ball player a lot?
Well, I'm not Puerto Rican, so I never heard of, thought of that.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it's interesting that you have that sort of perspective. But, you know, it's you know, I could play in another of the things that hit close home to you. You know, how many of the 90s Yankees were pointed to, and a lot of them were not Latin ball players.
This is true. This is true. We know about Andy Pettit and some others as
Clemens,
well.
Danny Nagel. You know, none of those guys were Latin ball players. So, yeah, I think maybe, you know, I can't tell you your sensitivity is misplaced because I'm not in your
I understand.
Skin. But I would say that, you know, sports history has taught us that, you know, you can't tie it to one specific sort of people, I think.
Sure. Well, I hope not. I hope not.
I mean, I have my suspicions about certain guys, you know, that I'm not going to say on the air. And I just, I looked at them and, like, you know, certain plays, you know, I recall this one, like, guy who was always, like, among the best hitters in the game, but he was always getting injured. And when I looked at him, it looked like he had one of those lantern heads that you pointed to, you know, when a guy had a steroids. And he never even got remotely mentioned.
Pimples on the back and stuff, some of these indicators as well.
I didn't get into that. I'm not talking about Piazza. You know, it's there were suspicions about him. There were suspicions about Bagwell. Yeah. You know, and those are not Latino ball players.
Fair enough. And it's interesting how guys.
It's just you hate it, though, because it affects fantasy sometimes. You
right.
know, you'll see it. You'll see a guy like Irvin Santana get popped. And you're like, oh, man, I was hoping to get some, you know, value out of this guy.
I thought I had some quality starts out of this guy.
With Cano, that really hurts fantasy teams.
Absolutely, and we've even been discussing how will the Seattle Mariners kind of, when he does come back, where will the spot be for Robinson Cano? Because as you mentioned, Nelson Cruz, you're not putting him at third with Seager. D. Gordon has performed well, but so have the other outfielders out there, you know, Haniger and Span as well. So maybe a good problem to have for the Mariners as they move forward. Real quick, Scott, we only have a couple of minutes left, 2 minutes to be exact. I'm back into the Brandon Williams article, and we're talking about some of the hitters that are streaming. I wanted to bring up one or two more guys. One guy, you know, we were talking about the steals guys who are not good for your average at all. I want to ask you about Malik Smith. I want to ask you about Malik Smith, Scott. You know, the speed. He's got speed for days. But as Brandon Williams notes, he's also really good in Tampa at Tropicana Field, where they're playing the Yankees later on this week. At Tropicana Field, he's hitting .382, Scott. Not necessarily in regular duty, but this guy can also steal your bases. I had him on my team for a little while, but then he wasn't hitting at all, so I was considering dropping him. Do you retain a guy like Malik Smith on your roster if you need the steals?
Well, he looks at him as a streamer, you know,
right.
which is very smart for this week. Malik Smith is hitting .284. This is not Michael Taylor. He's got.
But do you think he can stay at .280?
Yeah, this is a guy who's got a .363 BABIP, so a little bit of regression. I think he's more like a .265, .270 hitter, and he's got a dozen steals, but I'd rather have him than Michael Taylor.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, listen, I'm just trying to find other guys because, you know, some of these steel guys you don't want. Malik Smith is more appealing because, you know, he's got his average up, even with some BABIP progression, still at maybe .265, .270. So that you'll take a shot with, right, Scott?
Yes. I don't want .220.
All right, fair enough. I don't want .220 either, but sometimes you got to get them if you need those steals. Hey, Scott, have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Roto Experts in the Morning, all right?
Okay, Papi Chulo.
Sounds good. When we come back, the hot tag is made to the all-in kid. Come on right back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
You to the Roto Experts.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning. I am your host, Dane Martinez, the Comey's Beef Fitness Statistician. We're here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and the King, Scott Angle, has made the hot tag to the all-in kid, Jake Seely. Hey, Jake, how you doing this fine Monday morning? Happy Father's Day to you and yours out there. Hope you had a great weekend. How you feeling, Jake?
Yeah, I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling good. You know, I was telling Scott at the top of the last hour, I really feel like now, you know, the NBA Finals are done. The NHL, the Stanley Cup is done. You know, it's really, we're in really kind of like the boys of summer kind of period of the year. You know, baseball has taken center stage, obviously golf majors and the World Cup notwithstanding. I don't know how much you're watching that, Jake. I'm starting to get into the World Cup myself, but I digress. But this is really, until we get to, you know, the true run-up to football, even though it's kind of in full swing a little bit, this is like boys of summer taking center stage kind of time. Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game coming up. Are you excited for baseball to take center stage?
No more than normal. I don't care if it's I don't care if it's center stage or whoever's watching. I'm gonna watch. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing for me.
You don't, because I would think more attention, more buzz means more questions for the all-in kid on Twitter, more hype, more promotion. You know, I thought you're a man who likes to be out there in public. You know, check the link, all that good stuff. I thought maybe you would like that. Maybe more people are starting to pull your cape and ask, pick your brain.
Nope.
No? All right. Fair enough. Here's one thing, though, that makes me think, Jake, that we are getting ready for fantasy football. I go on rotoexperts.com, right? I go on rotoexperts.com this morning, Jake, because I'm like, oh, snap. We're going to start previewing more teams. I got to see what Jake's thinking in his rankings. You know what I saw, Jake? The rankings, your rankings now, are a premium service on rotoexperts.com. I used to be able to just pull them up, you know, so that means to me that the exclusive edge package is getting ready to roll. Can you tell the people a little bit what can they expect in this exclusive edge package that's coming out? I'm very excited about it. I know some of our listeners are as well. You're going to be front and center with a lot of the articles. I know you're editing away as well. What can listeners start to expect coming up from the exclusive edge package that I believe gets released this week?
Yeah, this week, basically anything and everything you need for fantasy football, including those rankings and projections that you can't see anymore.
I know, it's really unfortunate. I can't see them anymore, so I won't be able to nail you to the wall on some of these. But hey, Jake, we had some news and notes. I want to kind of do some quick hitters, some news and notes that I saw over the weekend. Get your take. Some may move the needle, some may not. I know you tell me all the time it's June, so talk to me in a month or two. But, you know, your ranks are premium now, so I want to start to get your insight. First place I want to go is in Buffalo, Jake. They say, GM says that Zay Jones is going to have to, quote-unquote, earn his way, you know, to kind of, to snaps, be on the field, right? His incidents from the offseason notwithstanding, that's not what I'm talking about here at all. The idea that he needs to earn his way, I mean, Jake, you or I could almost earn their way to snaps with the Buffalo receiver room, if you want to know the truth. You got Kelvin Benjamin, but who else? My question for you is, do you see Zay Jones as a viable number two wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, or in the back of your mind, do you think, sort of like I do, that the Bills are one of these teams that are still in the market to upgrade at the wide receiver position, even a guy like an Eric Decker, a Jeremy Maclin, a Dez Bryant? What do you think about Zay Jones and the Buffalo Bills wide receivers?
Well, Dez Bryant's not going there, I can tell you.
Right,
that
he wants an opportunity to, like, win, right, and be in a higher profile spot. But I guess, do the Bills need to upgrade?
I don't know that they need to, because they're not going to be contenders. I mean, why is Jeremy Maclin not this? Jeremy Maclin doesn't even upgrade that the wide receiver core. Why is he going to want to go there anyway? And there's another one. It's like you're going to a team that's not going to contend. Why does anybody really want to go there, especially a team wide receivers that are like the end of their career and looking for hopefully to maybe just make the playoffs? But the fact is Zay Jones is, I've never been that big of a Zay Jones fan. He came out of a 5-wide offense in a low-level school, and people thought that, things are going to be different in the NFL, and because he saw 1,000 targets a game. And he's like, look, he's fine at what he does, but he's not an NFL number two. I don't care about anybody in this offense outside of LeSean McCoy and Kelvin Benjamin. That's it.
All right, fair. What about Clay? What about Clay, a tight end? Is he a viable kind of streamer,
gonna,
or two tight end guy?
No, yeah, maybe a streamer, but he's going to miss his four games like he always does.
That's true. But remember, Jake, he changed his diet. Remember, he's in the best shape of his life. So that didn't move the needle for you because it happened in June. He's in the best shape of his life, Jake.
Yeah, that's going to keep him healthy for all 16 games, we'll see.
Fair enough. We go to Indianapolis, Jake, where I also think there could be some additions between now and training camp getting going. But at this point, boy, are they hyping rookie running back Nyheim Hines, Jake. They say there's quote-unquote big designs for him in the offense. Earlier, the day you were out, there was news about him as well, that he was running as the kick returner. You know, Marlon Mack there is banged up, coming back from injury, and it looks like Hines is kind of taking full advantage of them. Is Hines a sleeper for you? Do you think he could be that kind of shifty role? Do you like him in PPR formats, or is this also much ado about nothing? You like Hines potentially to break out as a rookie in Indy?
No, nothing's changed since the last time we talked about the Colts. It's still a complete committee back there. They've also give time to Robert Turbin in this offseason. So, again, nothing's changed. I'm still not investing in any of these running backs, whoever's the latest, maybe if it's a deeper league. But it's going to be a committee, and it's going to be frustrating.
All right. Do you think it's also going to be a committee at running back, Jake, for the New York Jets, Jets? There was talk over the weekend about my guy Emory Hunt's favorite, Elijah McGuire, to be maybe a kind of third down back, the PPR consideration. You got Bilal Powell there. You got Crowell as well. This kid McGuire flashed once or twice. Running backs coach for the Jets, Stump Mitchell, compared him to LaDainian Tomlinson, though, with his skill set. Bold praise, but then again, Jake, in June, everybody gets this kind of bold praise. Do you think McGuire has any kind of value behind Crowell, behind Boom Boom, Bilal, Pow Pow in PPR kind of formats, or is he just, you know, back end of the depth chart for the Jets?
No, because he's not going to see enough snaps to have the kind of value. It's Tariq Cohen with more competition for touches. So that Isaiah Crowell is going to be the lead. Bilal Powell's not going anywhere. It's just if one of them gets hurt, likely more so Powell for him to have some value maybe there, but not in drafts. He's just not even on people's radars.
All right, fair enough. I'm trying to find someone on your radar, Jake. If we go to Philly, I doubt it's going to be this one either, but Dallas Goedert, they say he may have a week one role. Remember, Philly has been running with these two tight ends for a while. Obviously, Zach Ertz is there. We know about Zach Ertz as a top three tight end. But one thing we know about Zach Ertz as well is that he gets banged up at times, okay? There have been years where, whether it's Celek, whether it's Trey Burton, those guys not there anymore. They're saying that Dallas Goedert could have a week one role. Do you think that this offense could sustain a second tight end? Do you have your eyes on Goedert? I know you liked him for the skill set going into the draft. A lot of people compared him to Zach Ertz. He now gets to share the tight end room with Zach Ertz. Is he someone to keep an eye on, maybe especially given Zach Ertz's injury history, or no?
No. If you're going to draft a tight end, dude, if you're going to draft a tight end for 2 weeks of the season, you should be playing fantasy football. You're an idiot. I'm not saying you. Hey, I'm saying people out
there. I understand, Jake. I understand. But listen, Jake, it's the middle of June. I'm trying to bounce these news and notes off you to see if anything makes sense. Here's where I want to go, though. Here's where I hope you believe there is more TV.
Are you going to draft somebody else for just weeks 10 and 11? Is that somebody else you're going to bring up?
No, I don't think so. I think about people that these are two guys that I do think you will have on fantasy rosters this year. The first, though, is kind of a case study in why June, you can never tell what people are going to say. I'm talking about running back out of Tampa Bay, Ronald Jones, okay? You had one beat writer over the weekend say, you know, he looks real great. He's going to get 15 to 20 touches a game. He's going to be the lead part of this kind of timeshare slash committee. Then in the same week, though, another beat writer down in Tampa says, nah, this is just a straight up committee. You know, Peyton Barber is going to get looks. You got Sims, who is still going to be the PPR back. What is your outlook for a guy like Ronald Jones in his rookie year? You think it's closer to him getting the 15, 20 touches and thus a viable, you know, running back two flex kind of guy? Or do you think he gets lost in a three-person committee in Tampa? I think Ronald Jones is someone who at least maybe warrants more conversation, Jake.
Well, it's the same conversation we had last week. It's the cycle of the offseason running backs. It's going to be Ronald Jones' backfield. It's just June right now, and this is what they always do. They give the veterans the touches first, and then the talent wins out like it does every single year at running back. So Ronald Jones is going to lead this backfield. Ronald Jones is going to be an RB2, and that's why you draft early. This is the entire – last year when people were taking Kareem Hunt back in the eighth round and Dalvin Cook was going in the fourth or fifth round in June at this time last year – This is why you draft early. That's, you know, we know the downside, but this is the upside to it.
All right, fair enough. So maybe this is where you kind of take your shot. Listen, Jake, I'm going to tell people if they're drafting early, I'm going to take a shot on a specific running back. We haven't talked about this guy. I think you like him as well. There's reports that, you know, this is a guy coming back from an Achilles injury. It is now up in the air whether he'll be back for week one. I'm talking about Houston Texans second-year running back Deontay Foreman. I'm telling you right now, Jake, I am going to have shares of Foreman on my teams, okay? I don't believe in Lamar Miller. I think he's fugazi. I think he was never worth it when they signed him in the first place. I think Deontay Foreman was coming on last year before he had the Achilles injury. Now, if they're saying, eh, he might be ready for week one, he might not. If I'm drafting early, I am taking a shot a little bit later on a guy like Foreman because, Jake, I believe that come Halloween time, he will be the lead back for the Houston Texans. Call me crazy.
He'll be the lead back. This is what I said last year as well. He'll be the lead back as he'll be getting the first touches, but it's not going to be anything more than what we see with Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis. It's still going to be close to a 50-50 split, which just more, it's more so what it does is it hurts Lamar Miller's value than it really does a whole lot for Foreman because it's going to be frustrating from week to week. Anytime you have a backfield that nearly 50-50 split, it's going to depend on game script. So if they're up and they have a lead and they're trying to grind out a clock or they're rushing at the end zone, there's a big question there as too is, are we going to have a Cam Newton effect? Is Foreman going to get the goal line carries or is he going to lose some to Deshaun Watson like everybody does in Carolina, losing him to Cam Newton? All that being said is, yes, he has the power, he has the ability to be the lead, but he's also coming off an Achilles injury. And Achilles injuries, players have come back and never been the same before. So it's June. I'm not drafting him above where he's going because that's a huge risk to take right now.
You're not taking him on speculation. So who are the kind of guys? Let's say you are drafting now, Jake. I mean, you know, and you have these stories. Everyone's in the best shape of their lives. And, you know, people, like you said, that rookie kind of life cycle where everyone's getting hyped up, things of that nature. What are the kind of things you would do differently if you are drafting so early? Are you more likely to stay away from the injury risk? Are you more likely to take a shot on a rookie? Like, if you are drafting earlier, are there any kind of rules of thumb or general principles that the listeners here of Roto Experts in the Morning should take advantage of? Like, we talk about, for example, in best ball formats, how you should kind of change your approach slightly to some of these guys like the Deshaun Jacksons of the world. Is there anything, if you're drafting in June and July as opposed to late August when these camp battles are a little bit more settled, what are kind of the general approaches or principles that you would share with some of our listeners? How do you do that differently if it's two months from now?
I don't. It's nothing. It's just I stick to my rankings. I stick to my draft now. It sounds simple, but that's the truth. I don't change when I'm drafting. It's what I do now. I draft according to my rankings. I draft according to my projections. If Ronald Jones is a value now and he's not later on, that's how the draft falls. It's that you don't let, you're trying to overthink it over here.
Jake, I'm not trying to overthink it. It's the middle of June, and I'm trying to talk to my man, the all-in kid, about football buzz. I'm trying to generate excitement, brother man. We've got the exclusive Edge package coming out this week. You know, I'm trying to drum up interest for the package here, helping you out, and I'm throwing you stories, you know, and you're like, meh, meh. It's like you're the emoji movie, and you got to be that meh guy all the time. Break out of your shell, Jake. It's okay to be a little bit excited. Let me throw it back to you then, Jake. Was there any news over the weekend that did excite you in the NFL? I'll turn it over to you. What would you like to talk about, Jake? Are there any stories that you were really intrigued by that you think do move the needle? Because when I'm throwing them out to you, you're like, meh, nah, nah. So let me ask you, let's not overthink it. But is there anything you would like to discuss here before, in fact, we get to our Bears preview when we go team by team in the NFC North?
No, and that's no. I'm not meh. I'm not meh things, but that's fine. Whatever.
You're not meh? I don't know. I think we need to cut that, guys. I think we need to assess, maybe put a poll up. Is Jake meh today? But there was nothing that moved the needle for you, Jake. Nothing you really want to specifically focus on before we turn it over to the Chicago Bears?
No, everything you bring up is fine. Just if I dismiss it, is that I'm dismissing it because it's the fact that I don't want people to get involved in it.
You don't want people. So you don't care about Nate Peterman getting first team reps over there in Buffalo? You said you didn't want any part of Buffalo. We've been talking about Josh Allen, AJ McCarron. It team's like Nate Peterman getting first team reps.
I said outside. See, this is you doing this again. I said what? Outside of LeSean McCoy and Kelvin Benjamin. I didn't say no part of Buffalo.
I got you. Outside, no problem. But you certainly want no part of their quarterbacks, okay? And so then the idea of Nate Peterman apparently getting first-team reps also doesn't like that just further convolutes things. Do you think Peterman actually has a shot to beat out McCarron or Allen?
Who the hell cares?
Okay, like,
seriously,
fair enough.
Do you care who's the quarterback for the Bills? Do you care?
No. No, I do not. I think they're going to be one of the dregs of the AFC.
So that's my point. If you don't care, then don't give me I'll be an eh if I don't like – if you don't care, then what makes you think I'm going to care?
All right, here's something that maybe I do care about, Jake. I'm going to try one more time before we move on.
You already got one more time.
Preview.
We've already talked about Ronald Jones. Don't pretend like there hasn't been anything worthwhile.
I talked about Ronald Jones. I did. I brought up Deontay Foreman. Do you care at all about Michael Gallup having a potentially quote-unquote good rapport with Dak? I think this was – listen, the only reason I think this is interesting is I think this is a backhanded shot at Dez not having good rapport with his wide receivers. And so they're like, oh, it's kind of like remember how Jarvis Landry was like, oh, I love the quarterback play that I now have, almost as a backhanded comment towards Ryan Tannehill. Do you think that the quote-unquote good rapport of Gallup and Dak is a backhanded shot at Dez not being able to play nice in the sandbox?
No, I just think it's real about his talent, but he's still a raw player. I don't expect he's not going to be the number one option for this team come week one. He's not going to leapfrog Allen Hurns. The fact is, there's a good chance Hurns misses time. Terrence Williams should get pushed aside. But if it's week one, I'd be exceptionally surprised if he's out there and start one of the two starting wide receivers come week one. But this is what we've said before about Michael Gallup. You draft him, you hold him for a few weeks, and once he's in that starting lineup, then you have some talent there. The fact is, again, he's raw, though. So if he's starting week one because something else happened, and I'll expect consistency. That's the problem.
Fair enough. You know, it's very hard, as we talk about all the time, Jake, for rookie wide receivers, you know, to kind of get off that way. But I guess this is a better sign than the alternative. All right, Jake, let's move on. We're talking Chicago Bears. Remember, we previewed a bunch of the NFC North teams last week. The Bears are the one team we did not get to. If you want to hear our Packers, our Vikings, or our Lions preview, just, you know, subscribe to Roto Experts in the Morning on the podcast version. You know, wherever you get your podcast, you'll be able to go back and get our kind of our diamonds, our fugazis, our bold predictions, our calls on the over-under season win total. But we keep it going with the Chicago Bears. Jake, I got to ask you, you know, you've talked about like the second-year quarterback, right? And forgive me if I'm wrong. You've said that sometimes the second year people struggle a little bit because the league has tape on you, you know, and the league is going to make the adjustment to you. The question is, can you make an adjustment back? So what do you think about Mitch Trubisky, the second-year quarterback in Chicago? He does get Matt Nagy as a new coach, you know, new scheme coming over from Kansas City as the offensive coordinator. Give me your outlook on Trubisky. I know we've talked about him a little bit in the past. You got that second-year kind of quarterback thing going, but at the same time, he's going to have a new scheme, a new offense. They surrounded him with some weapons in the offseason as well. What do you think about Trubisky?
Well, that's all the reason why that I said it could be like Jared Goff this year. The fact is this was before free agency. The draft even kicked in, but this was the opportunity to do exactly what the Rams did with Jared Goff. They brought in wide receiver talent. They helped them out. They made another year of progression. They got better on defense. They got better too. Like, if you look at this entire team, he was thrown to nothing last year. Now he has Allen Robinson. They also bring in Trey Burton. They also draft Anthony Miller. They've got multitude of weapons
Tyler
now.
Tyler Gabriel
like,
as well.
Compared to before, yeah, Tyler Gabriel's fine. But, you know, compared to last year, they have 10 times the weapons they did because, they really had nothing last year. Like, the fact that you can say who cares about Kevin White at this point is good for the team because last year you were hoping to get Kevin White. And, again, he failed to get on the field. This year, even if he gets on the field, it's kind of like, whatever. We don't care anymore because they have all these options. And they have Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen in the backfield. So all these weapons put together with, as you mentioned, Nagy, too, is why he could be this year's Jared Goff. I don't think he'll be a QB1, but he's definitely going to make that leap into probably the top 20 conversation.
Okay, so he's a legitimate QB in two quarterback leagues then, we think. So talk to me a little bit more, Jake. You mentioned the Nagy. I've talked about the scheme coming from Kansas City. I've seen a lot of reports in this offseason, Jake. And yes, I'll take it with a grain of salt. I know what month in the calendar it is. But I've seen a lot of reports trying to draw comparisons and analogies to, you know, this year's Chicago Bear, player X, and trying to draw the comparison to player Y on the Kansas City City Chiefs in the last couple of years. You know, I've seen the, oh, can Tariq Cohen be the Tyreek Hill role? Can Trey Burton be the Travis Kelce role? Things of that nature. Do you subscribe to this because of the scheme, or do you think they're completely different talents and completely different roles in completely different places, and people should not look to try to connect those dots?
That's the latter part, absolutely. Okay. I mean, you can look at what the roles will be in the offense. That's smart to do because an offense is going to have roles for players, and if you fill that role, you can look at the opportunity. But just because you're getting the opportunity, we say it all the time in sports, or opportunity often helps success, but it doesn't guarantee success. Just because you have the same opportunity, Trey Burton is not Travis Kelce. There's nobody out there that's going to say that, but they're going to be like, oh, well, he's always throwing the tight end. Well, Trubisky's a different quarterback, too. You can be in a role, but the offense with different players and different teams is going to be different. To just go out there and say, this person is just ignorant, honestly.
Fair enough. You know, I'm not saying this person is this person, but I do look at skill and opportunity, and I do think there is something to be said for knowing the scheme and knowing the opportunities that take place within that scheme. I think those are fair kind of leaps of logic to take, but to just say Trey Burton is Travis Kelce would, I think, be taking it a little too far. That notwithstanding, Jake, that is, in fact, my bold prediction for the Chicago Bears. No, I don't think he's a Travis Kelce, but I do think Trey Burton can return back end tight end one value. I can see him being tight end 10, 11, or 12. And here's why, Jake. The only other piece besides, yes, the size, skill, speed, kind of wanting to be Kelce in the Nagy role. The other thing I do with things like this, and tell me if I'm crazy, Jake, and you know, you don't hesitate to tell me that if that is the case. And I appreciate that. That's why we put the fun in functional sports radio here on Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. But here's what I also think about Burton, Jake. They spent money for him, okay? 4 years, $32 million as a free agent. To me, that makes it a little bit deeper because Nagy was like, I want this guy to play this kind of role. They went out and got Trey Burton. So that's my bold prediction that he returns back end tight end one numbers. And I think that the fact that they invested 4 for $32 million in him signals to you that the organization has designs for him. Call me crazy, Jake.
No, but I'll call you crazy and overrating the money because we've done this before. We do it all the time. Just because somebody gets money doesn't guarantee success. You can look at the fact that Latavius Murray is a perfect example, and we've already had the conversation about the Browns. And it doesn't matter just because you got money that you're all of a sudden going to be a great player. So I don't think that's the right logic to have with it. But, you know, I don't disagree with the Burton part, I'd say, because, I mean, I don't want to get – you'll have to look at the exclusive edge package. We've given too many away. You have to look there for the bold prediction.
Ooh, you're not making bold predictions here on Roto Experts anymore. You got to find out. I like that, Jake. I like that. Leave them alone.
It's not like I'm trying to, like, whatever. I can't. That's part of buying the package. If I give away all the information, nobody's not going to buy the package anymore.
Leave them wanting more. I got a couple of more topics I want to ask you, though, about the Chicago Bears, the monsters of the Midway. I'm going to ask you one now and then another one when we come back from break, because I think we have a potential gentleman's bet here with the Chicago Bears. But I want to ask you, you know how I call it in American history, Jake, the XYZ affair with the different kinds of wide receivers? I think the Bears were really composing their wide receiver room in this way. Allen Robinson, you know, the prototypical kind of big outside wide receiver. He goes, what, like 6'3 or something like that to play the X. You got Tyler Gabriel, right, who I understand may be better for the Chicago Bears than for your fantasy team as that kind of game breaker. But then that slots Anthony Miller, the rookie, I believe, out of Memphis, right in that kind of Y position. Do you think Miller has a chance to be successful in his rookie year? Because they might, you know, as that kind of possession kind of receiver, Jake?
There's not a question in my mind. He's a better wide receiver than Taylor Gabriel.
Sure.
He should be. But the fact is whether or not that's going to be valuable for fantasy is another question. Because if Gabriel's out there a decent amount and they're still sharing and they're still out there running three wides, which I don't expect them to. I actually expect them to run a lot of 12 with Burton and Shaheen on the field because I think people are forgetting about Shaheen. If you're looking at that, I have concerns of where the value is going to be fantasy for the second and even third wide receiver. So I think Miller can, but I mean, we're probably still talking like Miller will be the number two, but we're still probably talking about like 550 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season, which isn't much for fantasy.
Fair enough. And the funny part is when we're describing the Bears' offense, you're saying it's because, like, they have other options, which is crazy. Whether it's Tarik Cohen out of the backfield, whether it's the aforementioned Trey Burton, you talk about the second-year, third-round pick, Adam Shaheen as well, who a lot of people were high on. Jake, it's crazy that when we're talking about the Chicago Bears' offense, we're talking about a team now that has a bunch of different options, so much so that a kid like Anthony Miller may not, you know, be able to pop in his rookie year. When was the last time the Chicago Bears, you know, had wide receivers that we could talk about in this way? They really went out and supported kind of Mitch Trubisky in the offseason. I want to ask you about Tarik Cohen, and then I want to ask you about Jordan Howard, Jake, because I think we've talked about this before. I believe we differ on Jordan Howard, and, you know, you don't have to reveal anything from the premium ranks, but I want to find the landing spot for us to make a little bit of a gentleman's bet on Jordan Howard. We're going to do that after the break. Before the break, real quick, Tarik Cohen popped off in week one, won people millions in daily fantasy, that sort of thing, then was kind of hit or miss. There were games where he didn't do jack and other games where he popped off. Are you expecting the same kind of hot and cold streaky play out of Tarik Cohen this year?
No, because I'm expecting to have a Tarik going.
Fine. I had people correct
nope,
me.
You're
when
wrong.
I called it
Tarik. You're wrong. Everybody's wrong. Okay. Hey, everybody's wrong. His mom says Tarik. That's all that matters.
I would love
his
it to mom's... be Tarik. That's what I said.
It's
the
not.
First time,
no. It's not love had... it to be Tarik. His mom said Tarik, so it's Tarik. There's no if. There's no
but I'm
if.
Saying the reason I would love it is because Tarik is the natural way I would pronounce it. So I can, instead of having to think about it all the time, I can just go with my natural pronunciation. That's why I love it, Jake, so I don't have to go through the extra step of considering it. So
you should,
Tarik
whoever
Cohen,
you're talking to, you need to stop listening to tell you how to pronounce things. They don't know how to pronounce names.
Well, take that up with our guy, the king of fantasy, Scott Engel. But you think Tarik Cohen then is going to still be streaky, correct?
Yeah, that's because that's the role it is. Is it just what it comes down to, the fact that if you can get anywhere from 5 to 12 touches per week, you're going to be everybody's going to be streaky.
All right, fair enough. Maybe he's a best ball kind of guy. We'll ask Jake when we come back about that. I also, though, I want to get clear on Jordan Howard, what he expects from him, because we've been talking about some of these other playmakers in the offense, but I know Jake thinks that Jordan Howard has some value more than most. Let's try and pin him down and make a bet. It's Dane and Jake here on Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. When we come back, Jordan Howard and Roto Cleo as well. Coming right back on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Go to Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez, they call me Speed Spin Statistician. We got the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, as well. Jake, I was teasing it before we went to break that I think we differ on Jordan Howard, just in some of the kind of conversations we've had before. I know that you know, I kind of always push this angle on you, the idea that the pie is the pie, right? There's 100% of the pie, and that when they get other guys, as the Bears did with Burton, AR-15, Tyler Gabriel, drafting Miller, that, you know, those people eat into the share of the pie that other people had. You, I think, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I know you will, you think that, you know, Jordan Howard is going to sustain his value, and that was actually better than most people think, kind of returning, you know, solid RB2 numbers moving forward. All these other impacts, the new scheme of Nagy, getting AR-15, Taylor Gabriel, signing Trey Burton, drafting Anthony Miller, you know, obviously Cohen in the backfield as well. I hear his first name is pronounced Tariq. Do you think that in any way, shape, or form, Jordan Howard is going to be the sacrificial lamb of opportunity in this offense?
No, not at all. Not even in the least. The fact
okay,
is,
tell me why.
I was going to. It's the same team as last year, just with better talent, and it just makes the offense better. This is the same discussion we keep having for everybody out there that always assumes, oh, you know, this guy's got this or this guy's got whatever. The offense is going to be better, which means more potential snaps on the field because the offense can stay on the field, which means more opportunities to score a touchdown because they're in the red zone more. Just because they have a better balance on offense and more weapons, look at how many times do we have to go back to the Rams and say, look at the Rams. The Rams are the – if anybody wants to, that's all I'm going to say. From now on, I'm just going to say go look at the 2017 Rams. That's just the answer. It's because everybody's like, well, they had a Brandon Cooks and Sammy Watkins, and then they drafted Cooper Kupp, and they drafted Josh Reynolds and Todd Gurley. Well, what's going to happen to Todd Gurley? What's going to happen to Sammy Watkins and, like, the fact that he's the number three and he – go look at the Rams. Everybody did better. Everybody had a good year. That's just what happens, is everybody's going to be fine. Jordan Howard was number 10 last year, 1,100 yards and 9 rushing touchdowns. Did he do much receiving? No, that's not going to change. But is he still going to rush for over 1,000 yards and multiple touchdowns, a good amount of touchdowns? Right. Yep, he's going to do exactly the same thing again.
All right, so you still have him pegged probably for high single-digit touchdowns. I don't want to reveal too much because, you know, his rankings are now premium over on RotoExperts.com.
RB13.
He's RB13. Okay. So I think he's going to do worse. Okay. I think he's going to do worse. I do believe that there will be some growing pains with all these new guys coming in. How, you know, I want to be clear here, Jake, so that we don't have a moving target here. If you have him running back, say 13, I believe far worse. Where would you allow for me to set a kind of over under for Jordan Howard's running back ranks for us to make a deal here or a bet, let's say, that we could track, you know, kind of throughout the season? If I say he will definitely be lower than running back 15, is that not bold enough for
no.
us to make a bet? Okay, fine. That's why I'm trying to find the level. And, you know, in any negotiation, you have to start high. I know, but in any negotiation, you have to start and then find the middle ground. Where do you think would be an interesting bet? If I were to take him behind running back 18, which would be five different. Is that something we could kind of draw a line at? If I
no.
say he will be lower than running back 18?
No.
20, that's as far as I'll go.
And still no, then. When you start talking about he's not an RB2, then we'll talk. That's bold. The fact is, the difference between RB13 and RB24 is two touchdowns in the season. I'm not making a bet on that because that can swing any given. We've seen that.
Right, so is that then to say... Is that then to say, Jake, when any time we talk rankings and the difference of the rankings is like 5 or 6 spots, we should call that negligible?
It depends on where the gap is, because 5 to 6 spots at 10 to 15 is 4 points. But if you're including – actually, no, it's not. So here's a good example. And this is all I'll say about the projections because then it's going to be given too much away. But
fair.
Jordan Howard to running back 22 is 20 points. So this 3 and a little like 20 yards. 20 yards and 3 touchdowns in the season is going to make a difference right there. But if you jump from RB12, and I won't say who that is, to RB18, that's actually 37 points. So it kind of depends on where the tiers are, where you're going to fall. So it could be negligible to your point, but it could also be a significant gap depending on what's in that range.
No, that makes sense to me. I mean, there are tiers and stuff, right? And so maybe if it happens to be within a tier, like 6 people could be someone still within the same kind of tier. It could also jump an entire short tier if you only got 4 people in that next one. So that
right.
does
if
make sense
If you're
going to
be bold and you're going to tell me he's worse, tell me he's not going to be an RB2.
Right. I understand that, Jake. But here's the thing. We have to split the difference on some level. Because if I'm going to say he's not going to be an RB2.
No, there's no splitting the difference. You're saying he's going to be bold.
Is it, no, I'm like, saying let's make our let's find the landing place for us to be able to make a bet. And so that, in my opinion, needs to split the difference between what you say and what I say. We're outside of, we're not in the bold predictions anymore. I understand what you're saying, how far down I would have to go to be bold. But in order to be bold, for me to have that bold spot and for you to just have wherever you think it's ranked, I think if we're going to come to a middle and what would be a fair betting grounds, it has to be somewhere in between what we're saying.
No, not for this bet. I'm not gonna bet on a negligible spot. I'm not gonna bet like, oh, he finishes five spots behind. So
Jake,
we don't have
continuing,
to
continuing. We don't to have to not want to play bet. My games.
No, I don't. I don't want to play stupid betting games if I don't want to bet on it. If I'm going to Vegas, I'm not gonna bet on like something that minimal. This like where I say easily lose as it is easily win. This is just that's like flipping a coin.
Right, that's what, you know, that's what, when Vegas sets lines in
single
way,
nice try.
What they do
nice try.
Is to try to get half the money on each side. That's the
whole point
of setting a line, Jake.
That's what they try to do, but you know this just as well, and you always talk about going to MyBookieAG and changing the lines for what you want. You don't go to Vegas and just bet on 50-50s. You bet when you think you know that there is a better than 50-50 chance.
Fair enough, but what I was saying, the whole goal of us was to try to establish a fair line where we would both feel comfortable taking on a similar amount of risk by taking the bet. That's what we are doing here. Like, that's what we try to do when we're saying, oh, how much do you think he's going to go? Let's take it in another position. Let's say the Michael Gallup that we were talking about. Let's say you think he's going to get 800 yards. I think he's going to get 400 yards. Then where we put the over-under is 600 yards. So I'm just trying to find out where is that spot. But clearly, Jake, you don't want to play. It's okay. People that want to play with me can, in fact, go on over to mybookie.ag, just like Jake mentioned. And if you got a guy like Jake, and you can't nail them down, it's okay. They do it automated for you at the props builder tool at mybookie.ag. You like slanting it in your favor like my guy, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley? You can do that and then bet at minus 200 all the time. Whatever your kind of fancy is, you can do it over at mybookie.ag. Enter the promo code FANTASY, F-N-T-S-Y. You will get a 50% deposit bonus. All right, Jake, last question I want to ask you about the Bears, though. Okay, we talked about the Detroit Lions last week, and we said with their over-under being 8, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we both agreed that that was a little high and that we would take the under on them. How do you feel about the season win total for the Chicago Bears being at 6.5 wins? You have Minnesota, you have Green Bay. I thought it was curious that the Detroit line was higher than the Bears line, given all the buzz we've been hearing about the Nagy scheme and, you know, some of the new weapons that they got. You know, both first-year coaches in the NFC North in Detroit and in Chicago. Do you think, do you expect the Bears to finish ahead of the Lions? Because I think the Lions over under at 8 is a little high. I think the Bears over under at 6.5 is just about right. What do you say, Jake?
No, I actually could easily see the Lions being the worst team in this conference, but
right.
At the division, honestly. But I'm not betting either one of them. I'm not. It's just, you know, depending on what happens within the division, could swing it so many different ways. Even at 6.5, I'm not touching the Bears or the Lions this year. I'm just not.
Would you go on over to mybookie.ag? Because it seems like you can get plus money on just the Bears outperforming the Lions, having a better season than the Lions, because the line is 8 for Detroit, 6.5 for Chicago. So would that be a thing you would do over at mybookie.ag with the props builder, just say Bears greater than regular season wins than the Detroit Lions? Could I interest you in that kind of action, Jake?
Yeah, and if I'm betting the Lions, I would bet the under if I'm going to bet the two.
Yeah,
I could definitely see them going down to 5 wins. I could just see that happen with that team. So, yeah, I would definitely take the Bears over them. And if I was betting one of the two, I would stay away from the Bears. The Bears, I could see going 4 wins, or I could see them going 8 wins. Mm-hmm. Like, it just depends on how everything clicks, because now they finally have the talent. But is it all going to mesh well? But the Lions, definitely. I'll take the under and under the Bears.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with you. I like the Bears to finish ahead of the Lions. I think the Lions over-under is really the place to hammer in this division. If the over-under is 8, they need to go 9-7 for you to lose that bet if you place an under bet. Jake, similar with the Bears, you know, I think there's a lot of variance in them as well. The last thing I'll say, Jake, on the Bears, the end of their schedule, not easy, okay? This could be a team, you may be able to get value on them, like they could be a team that start off hot and then really kind of the wheels could fall off. off in the end. Four of their last six games are on the road. They finish up with week 16 and 17 at San Francisco, at Minnesota. Their home games only in that stretch, two of the last six are at home, but their opponents, Green Bay and the Rams. So not an easy start, November and December holiday season in Chicago. Could be a little bit tough. Hey, Jake, we got a poll question up, okay? We're doing that face of baseball bracket. We're in the second round, finally, and I think the Cinderella run of Justin Verlander is coming to an end. The four seed, Mike Trout, stomping him right now. We've got Mike Trout over Justin Verlander. You don't want to lobby and try and get Verlander to overtake Mike Trout. I don't know, even if your power would overtake a 78 percentage point lead, right, Jake?
No.
Doubtful.
Because the fact is, it shouldn't be Verlander, not even close.
Yeah, I agree. It should be Trout. We're going to get through our second round of this bracket tournament this week. We got some big matchups, though, Jake. Altuve versus Stanton, Harper versus Pujols, and then the Judge, All Rise, against Chris Bryant. Should be interesting. We'll get to our final four for next week. Jake, I bring it back to baseball because the last thing we have to do is look at Roto Clio. All right, we look at Roto Clio. Listen, you maintain your lead. I was hot for last week. I was hot, hitting a lot of things, but I was going very conservative, going with the hit and the win. Our guy J-Rod nailed it with Zach Godley last week as well. I saw you going back and forth with him over the weekend, Jake, to clarify the scoring settings of Roto Clio. You continue to lead, Jake. Where are you going today?
Today's miserable, honestly. Yeah. That's the problem, is I don't want to take a big name, but the fact is, there's no way on earth I'm touching Sonny Gray in Washington. I think he could get hammered tonight. Mm-hmm. The Grom is in Colorado. And the Mets don't score anything. And then you go down and look at the rest of the matchups, just like Chassin versus Trevor Williams, Maeda versus Chatwood. This should be probably an over-under of 15. It's Bartolo Colon versus Ian Kennedy. Yeah. So I'm just going down the list, and it's miserable. So it's going to seem like a big name, but at least it won't be Garrett Cole. I'm just going to take Trevor Bauer at home for the Indians against the White Sox. This is to the point. If you're out there playing DFS, sometimes you have to do this. You have to get Cole or Bauer on your team as one of your two pitchers.
Yeah, fair enough. Listen, this may be one of those days, right, where you have to go with the chalk. You know, you have to do that because there's just dregs otherwise, right, and you find places to make it up with your hitting.
Like, Michael looks good, yeah, but he's in Philly against Pivetta, who's pitched really well for most of the season. Like, so if you just look at the fact of the slate, and if you look at the Vegas over-unders, no, there's only two teams with a bigger line than about 125, and it's Cole and Trevor Bauer.
And Bauer. Yeah, so here's what I'm going to do. To that point, Jake, I'm going to be conservative. My starter, I'm going to go for a quality start, not for a win, because, quite frankly, he is a road underdog. But I like the ballpark. I like the way this guy has been pitching, striking guys out left and right. He's pitching against someone who's almost had a 5 ERA. Jake, today I am taking Caleb Smith of the Miami Marlins in San Francisco against Andrew Suarez. That Giants lineup does not scare me. They've lost Longoria
as well.
It did, but listen, like you said, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel, and I'm taking a shot. Give me Caleb Smith. Not necessarily get a win. You're right. The Giants are minus 150 favorites today, but give me Caleb Smith for a quality start. Then, Jake, offensively, I'm going with a power hitter who's hitting leadoff, I believe. And that's Eric Thames. He gets the platoon kind of advantage against Trevor Williams. I like that. I like that he's coming back. I like that he can go yard. I'm going to take Thames in Pittsburgh against Trevor Williams. Go ahead.
It's Thames.
Thames, my bad. I was thinking about Marcus Thames. You know, I was thinking about Marcus Thames. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you're good. I am
Caleb Smith,
going with
Eric Thames. Go ahead.
No, Thames. He actually pronounces the TH.
You know, you really are the pronunciation. I got to go to you for pronunciation all the time. Can you, in our spreadsheet, can
I'm
you do it like phrenetic spelling? Can you do
I'm
phrenetic spelling?
I'm just trying to help you.
I appreciate it, Jake.
Sometimes I'm occasionally wrong, and I like when people correct me, so I've pronounced it
really
right.
Yeah. Really? You're occasionally wrong. Can we cut that, JP? Go ahead. Where are you going today, Jake?
I thought you were, at first when you said the power hitter on the road, I thought you were going the same thing. Did you say on the road? No, because aren't they home? I don't know. I don't care.
No, they are on the road.
They're on the road. Okay.
Thames in Pittsburgh.
I'm out of baseball right now. But I do know this, is the fact that he's only hitting 200, but there's few people with more power. And I joked about the fact that this game might be a 15 over-under, Bartolo Colon versus Ian Kennedy. So I'm taking Joey Gallo to go deep off Ian Kennedy. I mean, that's – I mean, got to do that.
No, I like that. Listen, if he does, in fact, that will help my actual roto team, which is in second place right now, Jake. I need a little bit of power from my guys, the Trevor Ending Story, to keep my ascension going. I'm in second place in this league. I need some saves, you know, so we're seeing where we can go. Scott was saying this is the time you look at the categories you need and start to make, you know, bets. What division should we go to next, Jake? You know, let me put it on you. What division do we go through next? We finished the NFC North. Do you want to just kind of, you know, we did AFC North, then NFC North. You want to go back to the AFC, maybe, I don't know, AFC South? Where do you want to go starting tomorrow?
No, thanks. AFC South. Sounds good.
All right, fair enough.
You made it easy.
We'll start with the AFC South tomorrow. We will keep it locked. Listen, Carton and Friends is up next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Remember, we got the trivia contest coming up in a couple of weeks. I believe the Roto Experts in the Morning listeners are far better than the Fantasy Football Frenzy listeners. What do you think, Jake? You think our listeners will win that contest forever? And definitely over the Best Friends Forever, right?
But they're the same. For me.
Fair enough. I'll see you tomorrow, Jake. Have a good one. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports.